Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. What an interesting subject we have today. In fact, let me show you the whole screen so you can get the subject. It's called the Seven Surprises About God. Seven surprises. And let me tell you something. They are really big surprises. Before we get to the surprise, though, let's talk about God for a moment. So here we go. We're talking about God, creator of everything that exists. In fact, of him, it says that he stretches out the heavens like a curtain. And he gets even more detailed. He telleth the number of the stars. Can you imagine that? He calleth them all by their names, closely linked to all his creation. In fact, the scripture says, great is our Lord, and of great understanding, great power, and his understanding is infinite. In other words, there's no limit to his understanding. And of course, he made the sun, the scripture says, to rule the day and to provide the light for the planet Earth during the day and the moon during the night. And then he stretched out the earth above the waters and created such an immense, spectacular place to live in. The earth is the Lord's, the scripture says. I mean, he made it. In fact, I think the next scripture says, to him alone who does wondrous things. He really does big things, and he really does them well. We're talking about God. And so we want to talk about him in such a way that perhaps what I'm about to tell you is going to be a surprise. Everybody responds different to surprises. In fact, somebody looks like this. I wish I had a camera when we get to the surprises in your room looking at you to see what you look like, whether you're old or young or it doesn't matter. I mean, everybody has a different reaction to surprises. And some are joyful surprises, some are just amazement. And so we have lots and lots of surprises and reaction to surprises because people tend to like surprises. Of course, there's good ones and there's bad ones, you know. And so I hope everybody responds to the surprise like this girl, because I'm about to tell you seven surprises about God. Are you ready to go? Are you ready for this? This is probably not thought of by very many people, but this is, could be life-changing for you to discover, first of all, that God has feelings. That's kind of difficult for us to grasp because we tend to view him as a cold, removed, awesome, out there somewhere, God, and having feelings doesn't equate to most of our thinking, but God's feeling. That's the first surprise. How do we know that? God said, let's make man in our own image and after our likeness. He made man like himself. So there are similarities, and you have feelings, so God has feelings. You can think, so God thinks. So you're made in the image of God. He could have made us like animals who are just ruled, limited by instinct, but he didn't. He created little creators, and that's what you are. In fact, so God created man in his own image. This is a startling thing to know. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, the reason this is kind of important is that because he made us in his image, we are in the same kind of a category with him, although never forget that he's as far above us as the sun is above a candle, right? But it creates the possibility of friendship, relationship, because you're in the same category. It's really hard to find. It's really hard to have a fellowship or a friendship with a cow because you're not Not in the same category. So we understand then that God has feelings. In fact, let's look at another scripture that says this so clearly. We have a great high priest. This is referring to Jesus. And he's now gone back into the heavens where he came from. Jesus, Son of God. And then watch this. Let us hold fast to our profession of who he is and what he has done, right? And watch this high priest now. He is not a high priest that cannot, look at this, cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Yeah. God has feelings, and he feels about you, and when you feel bad, he feels bad for you. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Even though he was all, because he was tempted, just like we are. In fact, look at this translation. We have no superhuman high priest to whom our weaknesses are unintelligible. I don't want you to miss that. God is not a person to whom our weaknesses are unintelligible. He himself has shared fully in all our experience of temptation, except he never sinned. Another translation says, we don't have a high priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weaknesses and testing, experienced it all, that is, all but sin. Well, let's go one more. He understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do. Oh, so here we have an unusual understanding that God has feelings. In fact, I want you to see this again. He understands our weaknesses. You see, that's part of why he came here. I mean, he was one of us. He lived here, walked here. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he feels for us. And when you're going through something, no matter what it is, no matter what the pressure is, no matter how difficult the situation in your life may seem, there's this wonderful being of God who cares about you, who feels. He feels your pain, and he wants to help you. He wants to do something about it. Never think that he's a cold, calculated God somewhere off in the universe. In fact, the fact is that he has feelings, great feelings. Remember, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I want to go back to that scripture and let you see it again. He was at all points tempted like as we, without sin. So what? Watch this next scripture. So now, because of this, because he has feelings for us and has feelings, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, the prayer to him, right? Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He wants us to come to him to get help because he really feels for you. The shortest verse in the Bible. Kind of tells it all, doesn't it? Jesus wept. There's nothing unchristlike about God, the Father, or the Spirit. The character of Jesus is the character of God the Father. Do you remember how he stood overlooking Jerusalem one time and he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee in my arms like a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. He really has feelings. Now, I want to go to the second surprise. The first surprise is God has feelings. Make sure you make no mistake about that. But then I want you to catch this. that God's feelings, well, I should note, this is a shock. That's a step above a surprise, don't you think? God has feelings, and his feelings are affected by us. Imagine that. You, personally, privately, excluding everybody else, has an effect on the feelings of God. So let me take you through a few scriptures so you know that this is not my idea, but God's. For this scripture says, grieve not the Spirit. Don't depress him. Don't discourage him. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed under the day of redemption. In fact, never hurt the Holy Spirit. He is, remember, the personal pledge of your eventual full redemption. Oh my goodness. The fact that you can, that I can hurt God, grieve him? It's amazing. It's a surprise. Now, often he gets affected negatively because of our negativity. So let me show you a couple of those. In fact, here's what it says. How oft they provoked him in the wilderness. And they, look at this, they grieved him. They made him feel bad in the desert. They turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One. Oh my goodness. Look at this, 40 years have I, long was I grieved with this generation. Remember, 40 years, they wouldn't do anything he wanted done. They wouldn't be in relationship with him. And he said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So my question for you and for me is, do we know his ways? So people tend to think that if God has feelings and that I can affect his feelings, that in fact, because he's so big, so powerful, so everywhere present, that these attributes of his would kind of like diminish the feelings or nullify his feelings. The truth is that his attributes amplify his feelings. For example, omniscience, God knowing everything. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Now look at this. This is about God. God knows all things. Whoa. Now that increases the pain. He doesn't just know one person in pain or 10 in pain, but everybody who's in pain. Because the attributes don't nullify his ability to feel. They don't dilute his feelings, but they amplify him. Let's look at another one. This one is omnipresent, the fact that he's everywhere. And the psalmist David said, where can I go from your spirit? How can I get away from you? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Because God is everywhere capability, right? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Also, so watch this now. So the attribute of omnipotence, then omnipresence, he knows the pain that's going on everywhere. His attributes do not nullify his feelings, but they amplify him. Well, we also know that God is all-powerful, omnipotent. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. This is a big word. It simply means all-powerful. He is all-powerful. You would think that that would diminish his ability to feel, because I'm so strong. Not so. God's attributes do not nullify his feelings, but they amplify them. God has feelings. We can affect his feelings. In fact, his attributes amplify his feelings, because he knows all the pain from every place, all the time. So why does God have feelings? Why is it like this? The answer is simple. In this one statement that God is love, his feelings come from his character, and his fundamental character is love. Everything he does proceeds out of that essential character quality and philosophy. In fact, you know this scripture, that love suffers long and is kind. So now we have an understanding, a surprise about God. He has feelings. We can affect his feelings. His feelings are magnified by his omnipotence, his omniscience. He knows all the pains. And these feelings come because he really, genuinely cares and loves. Did you know that's true about you? Do you know that he really loves you? Is this a surprise to you that you are loved by God? Is this a surprise to you that he loves you so intensely that he knows how you feel at all times? Now, here's the next surprise about God. He can know, you can know, I can know, we can know how God feels. This is a surprising verse. I learned it a long time ago. I love the opening, that I might know him. Oh my goodness. Oh, we need to stop there just for a second, don't we? If you ever had an ambition in your life, a goal, a purpose, an intention, it ought to be this one, that I might know him. Now, the knowledge of him, if you really know him, comes in two different ways. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I know the strength of God. But watch this now. And I know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Oh. In fact, hurt is proportional to love. The more you love someone, the more you will hurt if they are hurting. And so we know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Let's look at this translation. How changed are my ambitions? Now I long to know Christ and the power shown by his resurrection. Now watch this. Now I long to share his sufferings, even to die as he died. Ooh. An interesting scripture that reinforces this eyes, this one. That I hope you'll do the first line, that they should seek the Lord. If perchance you might feel after God, you can know how he feels. And we can feel after him. And look at this. And we can find him. Now watch this. Though he be not far from, he's not very far away. He's as close as your next breath. And look what this is. For in him we live and move and have our being. Why? Because we are his offspring. We are his offspring. Remember that? Remember Jesus taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven. Remember that it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He is the Father of spirits. Your fleshly father and mother got together. There was going to be a baby coming, but he made the you and put you in the baby. We are his offspring. This is stunning. Now watch this. For as much then, as we are the children of God, the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now watch this. This is telling us the way. This is the way not to think. Do not think that God is like gold or silver or stone or a piece of art of man's device. Don't think about, you understand, this is a great surprise. To know that God is not like a stone, even if it was a nice stone like gold or silver. He's not some carved shape. He's a real person. And he's got feelings. Feelings for you. Because feelings are amplified by his characteristics. And of course, he loves you. You can actually know the feelings of God. Now, I hesitated to share this next little segment with you, but I'm going to give in to the temptation. In fact, let me first ask you, do you care how God feels? Does anybody feel for God? Does anybody care how God feels? You see, unfortunately, we're mostly so selfish we only care about how we feel. And very few people, now we have feelings for other people that we love, right? But do you know how God, do you feel for God? Do you know how he feels? And I'm going to give you a few examples of how he feels. Here we go. Like a parent that's disobeyed. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden were told what to do and not to do. One tree can't stand and do it, but they disobeyed. And so God called to Adam and said, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Because disobedience creates this separation. God suffers like a parent disobeyed. He suffers like a creator rejected by his creation. Look at this. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that everything he thought about, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil. And it repented the Lord. Oh, he suffers when he sees mankind being evil. And repented the Lord that he'd made man on earth. Look at this. It grieved him at his heart. I ask you this question. Who can fathom the grief in the heart of God? Like a parent disobeyed, like a creator rejected by his creation, like a father of 7 billion prodigal sons and daughters. You remember the story of the prodigal, right? The younger son gathered together all his stuff, took his journey into a far country, and wasted his substance with riotous living. You know he ended up in the pig pen, right? Eating with the pigs. The father's back home aching for him, wondering how his son is doing, watching every day for his return. And I love this part of the story, because when the prodigal, listen to what happened, he came to himself. And he said, I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned and not worthy to be your son anymore. Make me just a servant. And so he got up and he headed home. And I love this part of the story. And when the father saw him from afar off, and he ran. He ran out to meet him. And that's what God is like. He feels for every wayward, prodigal son and daughter. Those who have been kidnapped by the enemy. And because they have acclimated themselves to the enemy and become a lot like him. But if they show one little sign of him or her coming to him, like the father of the prodigal, he will run out and meet you and he'll throw a party. But can you imagine what it's like to be the father of 7 billion prodigal sons? He's like a caring king rejected. Remember the story God said to Samuel? Let me tell you a bit about the story first. They didn't want God to reign over them. They wanted a king. Give us a king. Make us a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. He had a big meeting and they all chanted, give us a king. And so Samuel goes up in the mountain and has a talk with God and said, God, I'm embarrassed, but they want a king. And God says, look at what he says to them. Hearken to the voice of the people, Samuel, in all that they say unto you. For, watch this now, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So Samuel goes back to the people and gives in, because these are the people who stood to their feet, fists raised, and said, we want a king, we want a king. And God says, okay. But he says, Samuel, I want you to know it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. They don't want me to reign over them. Can you imagine the feelings of God? Like a king rejected. How about this? Like a deliverer refused. Oh, he comes to help, not hinder. And look, what, can you imagine? This is God speaking in this verse. And this is what he says. Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein or how have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Would somebody please stand up and tell me where I have gone wrong? A deliverer rejected, refused. Can you imagine this wonderful being of God who only wants to help, to lift up, to bless, to encourage, to get people on the right track? Can you imagine the humility it would take to say what he has said? Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? How have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Stand up and tell me where I've gone wrong. Yeah, I'm afraid. It's like a deliverer refused. Like a, watch this now, like a faithful husband cheated on. The relationship between God and mankind is so much like, so intimate. It's like a marriage. And look what he says. And in fact, this verse has kept me awake many a night. I have to tell you that when I first saw this verse in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 9, I was stunned. Because what's happening here is God is pulling apart a curtain and letting us see behind the curtain what he really feels like. And look at this. Look at the first three words. I am broken. Doesn't sound like this far off, removed, remote, uncaring person in charge of the universe, does it? God, can you imagine God saying, I am broken. He's got feelings. I mean, intense feelings. I am broken. Now watch this. I am broken with their whorish heart, which have departed from me, and with their eyes they go a-whoring after their idols, replacements. They don't want me. They want some dumb idol. I am broken, like a faithful husband cheated on. He's also like a doctor with a cure, but being denounced. Jesus said it this way. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft I would have gathered thee in my arms like a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. Like a doctor with a cure, but denounced. Like an instructor mocked, like the teacher made fun of, ridiculed, sends the scripture. How have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof? Oh my. You have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. And so God feels like an instructor that's been mocked. He feels like a companion deserted. Remember this. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Imagine that. Let me ask you a very sincere and intimate question. You may have started out walking with him, but have you turned back? I've met so many people who once had the fire of God, at least it seemed like they did. They were like disciples. And look at this. From that time, many of the disciples went back and they walked no more with him. So you know what Jesus did? Look at what Jesus said after this. He said it to the 12. Will you also go away? God feels like a companion rejected. And let me end with one more. God feels like a lover scorned. You know this verse well, for God so loved the world. Well, watch this now. He was in the world. He came here, right? He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Just like a lover scorned. Let's get on with surprises about God. This one that I've just shared with you is that you can know the feelings of God. You can know the feelings of God. Now, here's a big surprise. You, little old you and little old me. At least I'm old, not that little. Little old you and me can affect the feelings of God for the better. Let's look at a couple of verses about this. Without faith, it's impossible to, look at this, please him. That means if you have faith, you can please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must first believe he is. Now watch this, not only that he is, but he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's look at another one. As you have received of us, this Thessalonians verse, as you have received of us how you ought to walk, now watch this, and to please God. How we walk in life has the ability to please God, to be on track, to be going the right way, to do right, to treat others right, to live God's way, to live this wonderful philosophy of love. Because look again at the scripture. Because if you receive the right way to walk, you can please God. Now watch this. Look at the addendum to this. You please God, and look at the byproduct. So ye would abound more and more. So you know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, but you will abound more and more, and you get to please God. You can affect the feelings of God. Let's look at another one. In fact, maybe two more. Let's take a look at this one. This talks about offering the sacrifice of praise to God nonstop, continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, all day long, forever. So one thing is to offer the sacrifice of praise. Next thing, but to do good, and to communicate, that has to do with help people financially. Forget not. Now watch this. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Yo, what sacrifices? Three of them are listed here. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of your time to do good for others, the sacrifice of finances to help other people out, you can really affect God. And God looks down with great joy. You can affect the feelings of God for the better. What a surprise. God, Mr. Big, creator of the whole universe, number one. And little old you and I, instead of bringing him pain, can bring him pleasure. Now, this verse is stunning, which is a step above surprising. Look at this with me. This is amazing. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, and he is mighty. Got that right? He will save. He's got all the power it takes to salvage anybody from any sin, anything at all. But look at this. When you receive him, he becomes so mighty in you and he saves you. Watch this. And look at what it does. He will rejoice over thee with joy. God, yo, he's so excited because you came to that place where you got united with him. He came into your life. He salvaged you. And now he rejoices over you with joy. Two more things. Let's go back to the scripture. Look at now. Ah, he will rest in his love. His love is working. You have responded. And he's rejoicing over you. But watch this. I don't want you to miss this. He, God, look at this, will joy over thee with singing. I'm going to leave the scripture up there for a minute because you need to see this in print. He will rejoice over you. He rests in his love. And then he says, I will joy over thee with singing. Now, we sing a lot of songs about God. Great is thy faithfulness. And all kinds of songs. Amazing grace. You know. But isn't it a surprise? Isn't it stunning? Isn't it staggering to contemplate that the God who created the universe because of your response to his power to save you, rejoices over you, comes down, rests in his love, and sings about you. I don't know about you, but this is a big surprise to me. And I hope it's a good one for you. So I'm going to close with one more surprise. And here it is. You can live emotionally close to God. You can have feelings for him all day long. In fact, when the scripture says pray without ceasing, what's that all about? Because you're in tune, you're in touch, you are in contact. You know how he's feeling. He knows how you feel. This is a comradeship. This is a step beyond mere friendship. This is an intimate thing. You can live emotionally close to God. So look at this. That they might search for God. And the hope that they might, look at that, that they might feel for him. Feel for him. Find him. Now watch this. Yes, even though, now watch, don't miss this. He is not far from any one of us. Not far. Have you ever been on a crowded bus? And people are not very far from you. But but they are a long ways away. You can be in a crowd, lost. You can be surrounded, and people can be adjacent physically to you, but they're really far away. Their thoughts are somewhere else. They're not thinking about you. You're not thinking about them. They're far away. Going different places, different ideologies, all kinds, with all kinds of distance between you and another person can exist, even though you're on the same motor coach. So you see, watch this now, because God is not far from any one of us. He's really close. And if you seek him, as scripture says, you find him, because he's not very far away. You can be emotionally close to God. Now, this may still be a surprise to you that God, Mr. Big Creator, loves you personally, deeply, passionately. How much does he love you? He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. And he, watch this now. I'm going to take you to a scripture that, again, is another surprise. Because he's had the 12 disciples, he had the 70 disciples, he had 500 disciples, he had all kinds of followers, thousands and crowds that followed him everywhere he went. And he looked at his close followers, and this is what he says. This is a shock. From now on, that's what henceforth means, I call you not servants. I'm not calling you a servant. For the servant doesn't know what the Lord is doing. Watch this now. But I have called you friends. Yeah, don't miss it. I have called you friends. You're not servants anymore. You're my friends. Now watch. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I'm going to tell them to you. I've made them known to you. Friendship with God. What kind of a friend? It's a friend that has no secrets. You're not my servants anymore. You're my friends. And I'm not keeping back any secrets from you. Everything the Father showed me, I am going to show you. I'm almost at the end, but these surprises are so emotionally impacting, and I want them to be. I want to live emotionally close to God. This relationship with God is not an academic thing. It's not merely a theological thing, although theology is necessary. It's not just about doctrine. It's about a relationship. It's not just about a relationship. It's about an intimacy. It's about being emotionally connected with God. This, my friend, is what Jesus must have meant when he said, lo, I am with you always, even under the consummation of the world. This is what he meant when he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm always going to be there. But the question is not whether or not he's there. The question is, are you emotionally connected to him? Because he's not very far away. But are you connected? So I want to take you through one more verse and look at this with me. For God has said, now look at this. I will dwell in them. Now that's really close. Look at this. I will dwell in them. And I will walk in them. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Oh. God wants more than anything else for you to realize these seven surprises, and not to be so surprised about them, but to cash in on these truths so that you can have an emotional contact with God. That's why he said this. Come unto me. What an invitation. God with arms outstretched, not on a cross any longer, but outstretched towards you and me. Come unto me. All ye that labor are in the heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. He's not the smart aleck. He didn't come vauntingly exercising his superiority over you and make off like a hero, although he is. I am meek and lowly in heart. And if you will come to me, look what? You will find rest to your mind, to your emotions. Watch now. Because my yoke, my way is easy. My burden is light. Why does he implore us so much? Why does he want you so much? And in what way does he want you? He wants you close. You remember how we used to sing songs like, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Oh, don't ever get away from that relationship that's so emotionally close to God. Well, you may be having doubts. You may be having doubts as to whether God wants you that close to him. You may have those doubts because, oh, I've done this, I've done that, I lived years like this, I was such a... Didn't the Dr. Billy Graham have it right every meeting he closed with? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. You know why? Jesus put it this way. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look at this. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to him, you will find him because he's not very far away. He can come into your life, change you, transform you, live with you, be your constant companion. You'll never be lonely again, because one of the great surprises out of the seven is that you can be emotionally close to God. I hope you'll come to him. And I hope that you'll grasp these seven really important surprises about God.
Discover and uncover the truth about you.
At the core, everybody needs to have an accurate identity. They need to know who they are, what they are, and why they're here. Otherwise, life is just a maze and doesn't make a lot of sense.
Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self.
You turn from a question mark to an exclamation mark.
Why You Were Born unlocks the mysteries surrounding your purpose in life, and it will lead you to choose a life path of excellence to live your best life.
And so it's a starting point for what I would call an amazing life, to know why you were born. You're here for a reason.
Learn more. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/born.